Welcome to the How the Heck Have You Been podcast. I'm Mark, and as the title would suggest, I just call up a bunch of people I haven't talked to forever and ask them how the heck they have been. So here's some intro music and the show. Okay, guys, here's the last episode of season two of How the Heck Have You Been. Couldn't have chosen a more appropriate person to end the season on than Toby Dickinson, my best friend from high school, bar none. A lot of you may want to know what he's been up to. We get into that, but a lot of the time we just kind of reminisce and talk about how nerdy we were in high school. He is the third drum major from the L.D. Bell High School marching band that I've had on. First, Steve Pratt, then Davis Cox, and now Toby. So I'm quite a ways into my collection, and I hope you enjoy our talk. Here it is, and have a great school year. I am sitting down with Toby Dickinson, longtime friend since 7th or 8th grade, I don't know. Probably closer to 8th.
Closer to 8th, but I think maybe technically 7th.
And so you are now the third, maybe, former drum major from L.D. Bell High School Marching Band. So a lot of band talk, just get ready. So we had Steve Pratt, whose shirt I'm wearing right now, again.
Nice.
He shipped me the shirt. I don't think I have any of mine. I've got my letter jacket that has all of our patches, BOA patches, and I don't think I lettered in band. I lettered in Academic Quiz League, nice. Which you were a part of too, right?
I was part of that.
You must have lettered in band though.
I did letter in band, yes, but I never got my jacket decorated, so I have all my patches and all that stuff in a separate box.
We have 1 year to get them on there for the reunion, so
yeah. Yeah. Can you believe it's going to be 20 years?
20 years.
Like, that is insane. 20 years.
So we're recording this in July of 2023. We graduated in 2004. So, yep, we're at year 19.
That is crazy. Did you go to the 10-year reunion?
No. I've talked a little bit on the podcast about that. It was, I was going to go to the happy hour drink thing beforehand, and then I thought I could sneak in, and then Claire Becking, whom I also need to have on the podcast, she was like, oh, they're actually checking to make sure you bought tickets. So I chickened out, even though I shouldn't have. Mm. But I'll go next year.
Do we have any idea what it is? Or who?
I haven't heard it yet.
Is it Joey Barry?
I thought it was Robbie Allender did the 10-year, I thought. And Julie Brown, maybe?
Maybe.
I think they were in charge of it. It
sounds like you need to have them all on the podcast.
Yeah.
Ask them, hash it out. Hey, are you doing this?
Yeah, thing? I probably should. Yeah, I probably should. Was Joey Barry our Stuco president, though?
I thought Joey Barry was.
He may have been. I know he did the speech for our IB thing. He was the one people chose to give the IB speech at graduation.
I vaguely remember that. Yes.
But I'm not sure that he was president.
Which, I'm surprised we even got IB diplomas looking back. I know we went to that program, but...
Yeah.
When I finally got the results, I remember that big paper we had to write. Uh-huh. I think we all got a C on it because we didn't get the instructions. We didn't follow the instructions correctly. And that wasn't necessarily an our fault thing.
Right.
It was an instructor thing.
Yeah. Miss Couch taught that. Yeah. It was the first year. And so none of us really knew exactly what we were doing because we were definitely on the frontier. Susanna talked a little bit about that on our episode because I think she told me this and I didn't remember. I was the only one who got a good score, got an A or a B.
Yeah.
Because I had done something original. I think they wanted us to do something original rather than just a research paper. And so, I had created this idea of the realistic hero of Dickens, which wasn't a thing. You had tragic hero and you had epic hero and stuff like that. So, what about a realistic hero? Because Dick, which, you know.
Yeah, I have no idea what I even read about. No clue. I could probably find it, but...
We should dig that out.
Yeah.
Dig some papers.
I do have to give IB credit for giving me credit. For college, but
mm-hmm.
Here, well, I'm jumping forward a little bit. We'll get into that, but
yeah, and I feel like a lot of that overlap, though, with AP. Most of the credit you got from IB, you would have also gotten from AP. I think I picked up an extra 3 hours with IB stuff for the music, maybe.
I think IB with history gave me, so I went into college with a full year,
nice,
already done
because and of testing out.
I think the combination of AP, IB, but I think it was IB that really did it for me on the history side of things, because history was my minor in college.
Yeah. All right, before we get there, let's go back. So my earliest memory of you at Hearst Junior High is the suitcase. Tell us about the suitcase, because actually I'm honoring you by working that into the book I'm writing right now. there's a student who has it, and it actually works. It works cleverly into the mystery plot of the story. But this was the story it was a heartwarming story to me, because it was this twist on, here's this kid who's like in middle school dragging a wheeled suitcase with his books in it. Mm-hmm. And then you come to find out it was like your grandfather who had gifted it to you, and he drove you to school. And so yes. You were doing it to not hurt his feelings. Like, oh man, that's yeah. like,
so what a teddy bear. Have you told the story to your listeners with like any other?
No, I don't
like,
think people? So.
Okay.
No.
So yes. So this was in seventh grade, and I believe, if I remember correctly, I had starting that year off, I had a normal backpack, and at some point during the year, my grandfather started taking me to school. I didn't live that far away, but we had moved recently, and so I couldn't walk to school anymore. So my grandfather offered to take me, and for some odd reason, I don't remember if it was like a Christmas gift or it was like a birthday gift. It had to have been like a Christmas gift or something, because my birthday would have been around the same time that school started, and I know I didn't start school with it. I got this. He basically gave me this like wheeled backpack. This suitcase essentially is what it was.
My memory is it's like with the rectangular, yes. like clearly yeah. travel luggage with the extendable hand and yes. wheels, but I could be misremembering
and
it.
And I can't remember why it was given to me. I think it was because I didn't keep stuff in my locker, and so I would just put everything in my backpack, and I think somebody made a comment about, like, your backpack's too heavy, it can hurt your back, all yeah, this kind of stuff. Yeah. And so he gave me this rolling suitcase that I was then I put all my stuff in it for yeah. school, which, you know, back then we had a ton of books, and they were all really heavy, I mean, for a seventh grader. But still, I couldn't not use it, because he was the one who took me to school
right.
every day, right. me to school. And so, you know, here I am, you know, obviously it's seventh grade, and which is already weird anyway, because it's like different environment, you don't know anybody, you in the school district we went to, we didn't get any kind of prep for middle school in terms of like, we didn't switch classes, you know, we didn't have different teachers. You had one teacher kindergarten through sixth, you know, each year.
Yeah. Yeah.
Seventh grade, you switch to having, you know, obviously different classes with different teachers mm-hmm. every day. And so that newness, plus being around a whole bunch of new people, plus being in middle school, and now you throw on top of this, I'm the only person in school walking this suitcase with my books in it down the hallway. And so obviously seventh graders, or as the eighth and ninth graders like to call them, sevies.
Sevies, yeah.
Which we'll have to get into me being in ninth grade PE. As a seventh grader.
Wait, what? I don't.
Yes, I not tell you about this.
Well, no,
okay, I'll get into that in a minute. So the things that I went through as a seventh grade, kid, seventh grade student. So anyway, people would kick my my suitcase, like going down the hall from class to class. Make comments about it. You know, joke about it, obviously, and that wasn't always the easiest thing. And I'll let you pick up where you step in, because at one point you come to my defense.
Yeah, there's two. I have a more shameful moment and then a better one. Because at one point I remember talking to, I think, was it Mr. Barrow, our band director, the first year or two?
Yeah.
And then it was
yep.
Heiberger.
Yep.
But I remember going in and I was like, yeah, that kid with the suitcase, don't you think it's kind of lame? And he was like, no. And it was one of those moments where, like, he stood up for you, and then I felt really bad. I was like, yeah, it's kind of lame that I would just trash it on it. Like, it's just a suit. And so, I don't remember how long after that it was. I almost positive it was Lisa Reeder, who was really nice to us at Bell, right?
Yes.
But she was a year above us at her senior high. And she was, like, messing... Her and Brittany Bellardi? Is that a name? I think they were friends.
Yeah.
I think it just came to me. They were messing with your... They were, like... What are you doing with this suitcase, and going through it and lifting it up? And I walked over and I slammed the lid down. I'm like, leave him alone. And they both looked at me. I think they were 1 or 2 years above us. And they're like, sorry. They kind of walked off. I was like, it was my redemption moment for having thought it was lame and then salvaged myself.
Yeah. Seventh grade was interesting like that. So I mentioned the ninth grade PE situation. So
Talk about the worst possible position to put a seventh grader in with ninth grade.
So, for those who don't know, our school district was a little different in the sense that ninth grade is still, though technically it's high school, it's still part of
the junior high,
high building. Basically, you have seventh, eighth, and ninth graders in one building. And so I remember my schedule, I took French as my foreign language. And the only time that seventh grade French was during fourth period. But that was also when seventh grade PE was. And so I couldn't do both. So what they ended up doing is putting me in ninth grade PE as a seventh grader. And yeah, that was interesting. Nothing bad ever happened. A few of the kids would tease me, and I remember they picked me up, put me in the trash can twice. Obviously, no harm.
That's pretty light fare.
Harm or anything like that. But you know, it wasn't, seventh grade was not always the easiest, which it never is for anybody. But
because PE already is full of kids who aren't part of a sports team, who aren't like have friends in sports and doing something productive. It's just like the aimless people who don't want to do anything and are just kind of wanting a free period.
I can't remember who the coach is. It Coach Simler?
There was Coach Simler. Yeah, he had the knobby knees, the older guy.
Yeah. So what's funny about that is that I grew up with my cousin. I spent a lot of time at my grandparents' house and spent a lot of time with my cousin who's 6 years older than I am, and he actually had Coach Simler in football. Mm-hmm. And so he kind of knew me from knowing my cousin, and it was this weird thing to where, like, because he was my PE teacher when I was in seventh grade for these ninth grade kids, so we would just kind of like blow it off, like, you'll be fine, like, not a big deal, like, he kind of knows who I am. Didn't really make a big deal of it, but there were some points where, like, kids would make comments or go a little overboard, and like he would step in.
Yeah,
so.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah,
that was good. Because we must have been in PE together, like eighth and ninth grade.
Yes,
because I have several interesting memories.
Yes, we have a few more people you should probably invite to the podcast.
Stephen Darling.
Yes,
he was in the somebody. We a lot of Magic the Gathering. We played Pokemon.
We had a Star Wars book club.
With a logo. It was W Star.
Yes.
And it was like, yeah.
W Stars.
And Star I remember this about you too. You got into this rut once where you wanted to memorize, like, you were reading one of the Star Wars books.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a whole philosophical, really deep question of.
Yes.
I remember listening to different podcasts and they were like, if you don't remember a book, did you really ever read it? Mm-hmm. Or like, if you're like, well, I read it way back in college, but I have no idea what it's about. Well, then did you really read it? And so you were like, I want to remember every word, and if I don't remember every word, I'm going to go back and start from the beginning. It's like, Toby, come on now.
So I think that's the beginnings. I mean, there's probably a larger conversation there around what, like, something I've dealt with is OCD, and that's probably, like, the beginning signs of that, where it's, now, like, obviously, you know, as an adult, you're like, oh, you read a book. Like, you get the general idea of what you're reading, and then you understand what's going on. You don't memorize every single word. Like, that's just impossible. But as a kid, like, we had this, you know, this club that we created, and it's like, oh, I want to be perfect. Like, I want to know everything about, you know, everything when it comes to Star Wars or whatever the topic was. And that was probably the beginnings of, like, this OCD thing that I had for a long, long time.
So did you, like, do you have a diagnosis of that even, or any treatments, or is it just something that you deal with in general?
It's something, I mean,
like, overly neurotic type behavior.
It's, I mean, I've definitely been diagnosed with it, yes. But I feel like over the past year, and we're jumping ahead in time, I know, but over the past year, it's definitely gotten much, much better.
We play fast and loose on this podcast. Yeah. We can jump around.
Got it. Jump around. That's probably the, I've gone through these phases of like, man, I got to get super intense with this book and memorize every word, or, oh, I've got to clean my place and it has to be perfect, you know, after work for a couple of hours, or, oh, I have to do this side of the other. And so,
yeah,
that's just a lot of stuff I've dealt with, particularly over the past few years, but yeah, it probably started in middle school with something small like that, where it's like you latch onto this one thing and, oh my gosh, I gotta, if I don't remember exactly what character said when and was it a question or was it not, it was like, well, I gotta start over again because I don't, if I were to get asked that question, I didn't know it. Like, I'm not perfect.
Well, you were very intensely focused on academics, which to my benefit, and I'm just thinking now about even the Star Wars book club is one of the many moments in which you were all gung-ho and I was probably like the loser friend who was like, I'm not that into it. I'm dragging you down, but
we created a constitution for it.
We did. Remember? Yeah.
And we created rankings to where if you finish the book, you get to increase your rank.
Yeah. That was definitely some attention seeking there as well. Cause we were like, we really wanted to get some of the other kids in PE to like notice and bully us about it, run away from them, and work like in a friendly way. I remember we were trying to like be super nerdy to try to get them to like mess around with us and try to steal the Constitution. But
I just remember, I think like some of our friends, like at the time, was it Jamie Vo?
Mm-hmm.
And Scene.
Scene Harrell. Yep.
And they're just like, what are y'all doing? This doesn't make...
Because they were the Stuco, really cool. Yeah, they took like the Stuco route. We took more of the band route, especially when we got up into high school. I remember them, and then also, I remember Miss Trahan couldn't tell you and Scene apart, or was it Sean Stevens? Maybe she kept getting you mixed up with him.
I don't remember that.
Which, as a teacher, I now commiserate with that, because it's like, when you have so many hundreds of students, you know, through the years, it's hard to keep them apart.
So, right. Yeah. So, no, that was, yeah. So, 7th grade, I believe, God, what was it? And it was 8th grade is when we really connected, because we connected around Pokemon.
Pokemon, and that was the year, of course, we had Miss Banner.
Yes.
With Lauren and Laura, and that was probably the year they looped us into all of that nonsense and craziness with Bastille Day and going to the Renaissance Fair, which I talked with, I think, both Laura and Lauren.
And I saw that picture recently, the one with us and Catelyn Hunt.
Yep. Rest in peace, Catelyn. She's been mentioned a couple times on the podcast, but what a sad thing that was. We lost her a couple years ago, but. Yeah, so that was 8th and 9th grade. We had Miss Banner and Pokemon. The nice thing now is that Pokemon... So there are certain cultural phenomena that are okay, that remain cool after you get... Like, after a generation, you know, graduates up. But we were not in that... Like, we were slightly too old to be into Pokemon, but we were still into Pokemon. Which is nice now, because all my students now, you know, have grown up with it. And so it's like Ninja Turtles for our parents, or for like, for Gen X. Gen Xers like grew up with Ninja Turtles. So Ninja Turtles are always cool now. They're never lame. But for us at that time, we were probably a little too old, I think. It was 7th or 8th grade. And when did Pokemon come out in the States? I'm going to look that up. But it must have been that year, right? Like, it got popular. Or maybe I
don't know if we were too old for it. I just... Because I remember just always wanting to have $3.24 so you can go down to the gas station and get a pack of Pokemon cards.
Those extra 10 pack. In fact, I remember having I had an argument with my mom once about that. Because, like, I did my chores. Mm-hmm. And she was like, you're just buying Pokemon. I was like, yeah, but I did my chores. And I won her over with my argument. So it was 96 Pokemon came out. That's true, because I remember playing the Game Boy game before the TV series.
See, I never got to play Game Boy. My cousins had a Game Boy. I didn't. So I never got to play the original Pokemon Red, Blue, and Yellow. But yeah, so we connected in science class. And it was Mr.
No. Rutherford?
No.
Oh, okay. Eighth grade.
Eighth grade. It starts with an F, I believe.
Oh, Farrell, yeah. Ferris. Yeah, yeah.
And I think he was a cool guy. Still to this day, one of my favorite memories is we had this project that we had to work on, which was we had to build this bridge.
Yep. Out of matchsticks or toothpicks.
And I can't remember why. I think we wanted to ask him, maybe like, are we allowed to use flat toothpicks or round toothpicks?
Yeah, we could only find
like
the square ones and not the regular pointy ones.
And old tech alert, We had to look him up in a phone book.
In the White Pages.
And we called him. We found him.
We called him at like 5:30.
We found him in the phone book. Our teacher answered the phone, and we got the answer.
Yeah. He was like, yeah, you can use him.
Who would do that these days? Yeah, that's funny. Like, you would, you know. it's just crazy to think about that we did that.
He was a cool guy, too, because he was like a mountain runner. Like, he would go run mountains, like, up and down hills and stuff. Super in shape.
But I think, so, you know, we connected around Pokemon, and then, if I remember correctly, like, I traded because I really wanted your Alakazam.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember what I gave you in return.
I'm really sad because maybe a foil Venusaur, probably not. You probably wouldn't have traded that. But I lost all my nice ones. Like, I have a binder of all just the basic energy cards and stuff. And I don't have all my, like, foil stuff because I got nostalgic a while back. I've got a close friend from a teacher friend who's super into Pokemon as well. Because he was wanting to build, like, a table or something out of all 100 original cards of the original Pokemon. It's like, oh my God, like, this is a bunch. Still. So I was like, I'm going to look for my old cards, and I don't have them.
I'm pretty sure I gave all mine away.
Yeah.
I can't remember to whom.
We may have given away together at the same time.
But now it's all digital and Pokemon Go. And
well, apparently some of the cards are worth, even the energy cards now are worth a good amount, like 50 cents or a dollar a piece. I've got the guy I do the prints for my artwork. He's into collecting all of that stuff. And he's like, hey, let me know if you have some. But
yeah, I've moved from cards to Legos and Funko Pops. So that's my new thing. Yep. So
I've been getting into Legos too, because my daughters are right at that age where they can now do the smaller ones. And in fact, that's what Samantha's been spending all her allowance on, is like $80 Lego sets. She'll save up birthday money, Christmas money, and chore money.
Lego store is a great place for.
We just went. Yeah, we went to Legoland last weekend. It was fun. It's kind of a weird. It's almost sad to an extent because it's not quite. It's not like not quite Six Flags, you know, like level of quality. It's like a mall, like Grapevine Mills, but it's still a really fun, nice place. But
is Six Flags really that good of quality as an adult?
No, but I mean, in terms of the size and in terms of like, you know, the Legoland is like 8 employees at any given time, kind of just running through the motions type of thing. But yeah, good times. All right, so I'm trying to think if we're missing any key moments of 8th or 9th grade. You played saxophone. We haven't mentioned that yet in band.
Yep, saxophone.
And that was what Barrow played, right? That was his instrument, or the head director at the time?
Yeah, he played saxophone, and then...
And Heiberger too, wasn't it? Or did he play something else?
I can't remember.
I don't think he was brass.
I just remember Mr. Barrow asking us, like, hey, third band needs drastic help. Can you come help play with them? I remember that for one of their concerts. We came in, and we basically We played, like, first chair for both... You know, you play for tuba and me for saxophone.
I think there's only one other tuba player. It was the big guy. What was his name? Jolie.
Yes.
Didn't he play tuba? Which is
Yes.
So so I remember he was like so impressed with how good I could play. I was like, I don't even practice, like barely practice. I mean, I practiced all the time, Mr. Earnhardt and Mr. Barrow and all of the people often listen.
Yeah, when we play Duel of the Fates, like in your head, you're
was pretty cool. That was pretty cool.
This is so good, but you go back and listen to it and you're like, what did we play?
I have some of the recordings.
This is like 40 beats a minute. Like, it's nothing.
Played the Next Generation Star Trek theme song. That was super exciting because my family liked it. You were never Star Trek, right? You were like
I'm mostly a Star Wars fan. I do like the J.J. Abrams films, Star Trek films.
They're fun, especially the first one.
But I was never into like what you were into with Next Generation and all that stuff.
It was more of just like it was more nostalgia for me because I really don't like anything except Next Generation because we just used to watch it as a family live. Like back in the day when episodes came out and you could just watch them every Wednesday or Thursday, I think. And we would watch that as a family. And it was a turning point when I could stay up till nine. Because I think it aired from 8 to 9, and I would never be able to stay up till 9, and then once I was able to. I gotta look up how many of these Hearst Junior High recordings I have. We had shared libraries on iTunes.
Yeah.
Somehow. You could... Oh, I guess you could just have the account, right? Like, you could...
It was complicated back then, man. Because
you... Well, yeah, because you... In fact, I think I still have your backup discs back from...
Oh, my gosh.
2003 with all your iTunes on it.
I just remember always being so jealous of your computer and...
Why?
Your 1 gig hard drive.
Oh, yeah.
And you were the first... Remember, you're the first one of our friend group to get a cell phone.
The Razor.
You had a red Razor. And you were the first one to get like an iPod Shuffle. I remember that. Went to Best Buy, remember, and got that. It was like 512 megabytes. And it's like, oh my God. It's like
72 songs.
It was so cool.
What was that Shuffle? What did that Shuffle look like? Was it the gum stick? Was it the stick of gum looking one?
Yeah, it was
one
white with and it just had the USB little cap came off. You could wear it around your neck.
Oh, yeah. And had the waterproof case on it. Yeah. That had, or the, not proof. It was moisture resistant case. Man, those are the days. I rocked that Shuffle in college working out. All right, so let's get into high school then. High school... was next level. Just tell me a little bit about your reaction to like marching band in general and to that program, the common theme of this podcast.
Well, I mean, kind of going back a little bit, I mentioned my cousin, because my cousin was 6 years older than I am. When I was in, late elementary, middle school, he was in high school. I went to the same high school. He went to LD Bell as well. And he was on the football team and he was quarterback. And so I remember always going to the football games pretty much every Friday with my grandparents. And so from a young age, like, I always knew, it's just in the back of my mind, I want to be a drum major. Like, I just want to do that. That seems so cool. The band is awesome. I just, like, instantly fell in love with it. And so I'd always wanted to be a drum major. And so, you mentioned, different paths of going into high school. And some people go, like, student government body route and all that kind of stuff. And we went the band route. And, I mean, getting to go into high school knowing basically like 200-ish people.
Yeah.
It was definitely advantageous.
But I mentioned that to Steve Pratt on the episode too. The fact that somebody with that much clout he had already built up, we were kind of shepherded in and he was so nice about it. And like many of the seniors and juniors at the time that we went in were.
Yeah, I think Steve and Kristen Talley are like great role models for 10th graders who are into a marching band that I don't think when we stepped into it we realized how intense it was going to be.
Yeah.
Like, we were nervous, obviously, like, LD Bell had just won state the year before, but as a 9th grader, you don't have that perspective that you have. Like, how old are we? Like,
14, 15, 16?
Yeah. And it's just, you're a teenager. Like, you don't put that stuff together, realize how important it is. And so, I think looking back, like, it was great to go into band, great to start high school off kind of a month before school.
Yep.
And you get to learn the building and learn how things go. And, a big part of your life has already started because, we're doing marching band twice a day.
It's such a good point because it was such a well-oiled machine that we were just kind of onboarded to it.
Yeah.
And it solved so many of our problems for us we never knew we even had.
Yeah. So by the time school started, you already know 200 other people, which for our class, I think we graduated with around like 580 something kids.
I think it was more than that. I think it was like 650.
And so, I mean, it's still like a third of the class, right? Like, you know, a third of the class, you know, definitely looking back, we weren't a huge high school. Definitely not nowadays. Mm-hmm. High schools are ridiculously more populous now, but it was just awesome to start high school off that way. And so for marching band, like, you know, I knew that was my goal at some point was to be
always.
To be drum major, which, you know, I did get to achieve in 12th grade, which was definitely awesome.
Do they even do junior drum majors?
They do now, I believe, at Early Bell. But
which makes
I don't,
more,
at
a
the
little
time,
sense. So like,
at the time, I don't believe they did, and there were only two of them, and now there's four, if I'm not mistaken. The last time I saw them.
So. Well, yeah, because Mr. Earnhardt was saying that the program has grown.
Yeah.
There's like almost 300 kids in band now.
Yeah.
When we were there, was like a little over two.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So yeah, no, and that's where we. I think obviously you and I, but also just our friend group, like we pretty much had, if we didn't have the same classes together, we had the same teachers, maybe just in a different order.
Yeah.
Because we're all in AP classes or GT classes. And then when we got into 11th grade and started doing IB stuff, we basically did have all the same classes together.
We would have had to.
Or we were maybe a class off, but the content was still the same. But, you know, that 10th grade year, I still think, you know, not to get too depressing here, but I still think that the one thing I remember from 10th grade that we were all impacted by, obviously, September 11th.
Yeah.
We were outside practicing.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Earnhardt stopped us and was like, hey, something's happened.
Something
we're
has happened.
We're going to go inside. And at that time, like, there weren't TVs everywhere. And I remember we turned on WBAP 820. Or maybe it was 1080. I don't remember. WBAP. And we were just listening to the towers had just collapsed and the Pentagon was on fire and there might be another plane out there. And I think as a collective, like, obviously, again, I don't think we had the perspective of how, like, what that meant.
Yeah.
Like, we knew it was serious and it was scary. But we didn't have that perspective. But still, to be around 200 people who are going through the same thing, like, it was comforting in that sense. Like, you're not by yourself. You're not alone.
My memory is, like, a radio in the middle of the band hall. Like, on the band, on the director's stool.
So,
like, listening to a radio. But that might be fake.
If I remember correctly, so we had that sound system. So if you're looking at kind of where we would sit, look where the director stands. To the left, there was that sound system. And I believe they put the radio on there,
yeah,
so it was
yeah.
on the speakers throughout the entire throughout
eerie.
The entire band hall.
Yeah.
Which it was really loud because I remember after that period we went to the next class and like there were very few TVs.
Well, I think we may have had Miss Trahan together. Did we? I can't remember because I think her class was the first class after band.
I could have sworn I had like a history class right after band.
Oh, maybe.
And then,
but I do remember them wheeling a TV in at some point.
Yeah.
In one of the classes,
I just remember going to Laura DuPay's house that night because we had a project that we were working on. I don't remember what it was for, but I remember being outside and seeing a because it was so quiet, right? Because there were no airplanes in the sky. Like looking back, I'm like, wow, their planes didn't fly for 3 days, which was insane. But there were fighter jets that flew over.
Mm-hmm.
And like, Laura and I ran outside. And like, what is going on?
Yeah. I remember that, too. Crazy. I was at home when that happened, and they were scrambling jets.
Yeah.
I was like, is this another one?
Yeah.
Right. Is this our jet? I hope it is.
That's crazy. But, you know, 10th grade is really, really obviously when we all got, you know, our close friend group. I can't remember if that's the year we also joined Academic Quiz League, or if that didn't start till 11th grade.
I think it may have been 10th.
Yeah. So that was really cool. Got to go around. I don't think we were as smart as we thought we were, and we didn't study as much as we probably should have.
No,
but we did really well sometimes. Like we did.
We
win.
Won a couple.
We won.
Who was in that? So I know Matt Schoolfield, Sarah Smith.
Yeah,
I remember. I still have a memory of being upset with her because this is when we were dating, and it was a question about jet propulsion. The answer was jet propulsion, which is how squid move. Mm-hmm. And I she was the one that needed to answer, but and I told her and she didn't say it. She didn't trust me. I was like, all right. Come on, man. I knew that one.
No, but I really enjoyed that because we got to go around the different schools and
drive around the city.
Drive around.
At night, we were like with other students at nighttime doing quiz competitions. It reminded me of Spider-Man Homecoming, kind of, because they did the same thing. It was kind of that same mentality. I don't remember a teacher being there. I'm sure I think it was Treharn actually sponsored it, maybe, or maybe was it the history teacher?
It was the history.
Ballard.
Maybe. Yeah.
Well, even now, and I think I mentioned this maybe on a previous episode of the podcast, but. My same friend who's a Pokemon, he does his own trivia night over at a restaurant off of 35 Boston's. You should check him out. It's Get School Trivia, like their Facebook page. But they do every Wednesday, and I tried going myself once, just by myself, because I have some friends who are better. Like, I know nothing about sports, very little about pop culture. And so it's really just the science stuff that I might know from my interest in it. But I get so worked up and not knowing an answer. I feel so stupid. And it was the least fun experience of my life going by myself that one time. Like, I'll just go and see, support my friend, you know. It's so terrible. Anyway. All right. So, anything else about high school? I mean, IB. In fact, Earnhardt talked about that. I had forgotten how much they had incorporated band and IB together. Mm-hmm. In fact, his Facebook comment was that IB stands for in band. Because a lot of the stuff could be double dipped. Mm-hmm. What about Coach Fuller? I haven't talked about Coach Fuller much on the podcast.
Oh, man.
He was interesting. He ruffled some feathers with his teaching style.
Looking back, he ruffled a lot of feathers. I don't know if that would go over today, to be honest with you. Like, I just don't.
I believe he is still an administrator, or at least he was until recently. He became an assistant principal up there at Bell.
Anyway,
I should definitely have him on.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Well, he was a cool guy because he was Coach Fuller. He did baseball. Sure. And he was really busy in trying to do IB and coaching. I mean,
I think at the end of the day, what I really appreciate about him is that whether or not you like the way it was done, he basically wanted you to create the connections between, you know, in this case, history and terms and topics and how history relates together, right? Like, history isn't a linear thing. Like, history happens all at the same time, and it's three-dimensional, if you think about it that way. And it's not one thing leads to another. It's all happening at the same time. Everything impacts everything else. And that was his intent, was to try to get you to understand those connections, and that, you know, when you're trying to define something, you don't just, in the context of history, it's not just about, like, getting the highlights of, hey, there was this battle, and this happened, and this happened. Well, yeah. It's what led to that. What caused it? What effects did it have? It didn't lead to just one thing happening. It led to multiple things happening. If this hadn't happened, these other things wouldn't have happened. And that's what he wanted you to grasp, was the three-dimensional aspects of history and how everything affects everything else. And I think, you know, where probably most of us were taught, it's just, okay, we learn about history, we learn about its topics. Yeah. Like, this happened, and this happened, and this happened, and then we take a test, and you pass it or not, and then you move on to the next topic. And that's not how he operated.
Yeah. No, it's not.
Not at all.
Well, there's two, I mean, there's really two things going on, and what the students whose feathers were ruffled, you know, they were bought into the system of, like, I need to get a good score on the AP test so that I can get a good college course, so that I can get my college degree, so that I can get a good... And it's like, he wanted more than that, right? Yeah. And so he was doing the, you know, he was one of those guys that was really led by personal philosophy, wanted to do something really interesting. Like, he used to grade our stuff with movie titles and not tell us what they meant. Like, because it was all the GPA kids who really wanted to be like you, top 10, who were like, but did I get 100 or not? Like, what is, I think one of the... What were the scores? I think some of our M. Night Shyamalan movies, like, he would either
can't
it would
even remember,
be
but like,
Unbreakable, Signs. I think Signs would be the best.
You're like, what'd you get? I got The Godfather. What does that mean? Not quite sure.
Mine was
like,
Pulp Fiction. I don't know. So, but he would just give us lists, right? Like, for a lot of the major assignments, he would just like, here's all of the stuff you need to know for the next 3 weeks about, you know, whatever, World War One.
So I feel
and
like
so you'd go research it. And like, we weren't even quite sure what we were supposed to be doing with the list.
I would love to have that happen with more modern movies now, where it'd be like The Last Jedi. I really don't know if that's good.
I don't think that's good.
I love The Last Jedi, and I think most people don't. That's a whole other conversation. But that would be really fun to do now. But yeah, no, I think looking back, you can appreciate to a certain extent what he did. But yeah, to your point, IB was such a huge thing, and with music, it was like the music theory piece, which looking back, like that was also like really hard still.
Mm-hmm.
Like I really appreciate, you know, like, you know, just side note, like I sing a lot, I whistle a lot, like I love music, like that's just my thing, like just music and lyrics. And people always comment like, how do you memorize all these songs, how do you know all these song lyrics? But if you were like, hey, sing me this certain note, and you know, like, is this I mean, yeah, minor, major, sure, but like I'm not like, I can't just pull a note out of a hat and be like, oh yeah, that's a third, blah 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 blah. You know, like so the music theory, the music theory piece just blows my mind. And looking back, I'm like, well, as a kid, like, I mean, because you're still a teenager in high school, like, we weren't ever going to be great at that.
Yeah.
I
remember we got La Mer, right, by Debussy for the IB test. The piece of music we had to analyze was La Mer. Yeah.
One of the most famous pieces of all time. But as a kid, you're like, oh, I've heard this before. What, this in Twilight or something?
It's duple time, not triple. Yeah. That's about as far as I remember getting. It sounds
kind of melancholy, sad. Yeah. The piano's slow.
Impressionist, I think, is technically what it was, which I didn't even realize at the time that transcended art, visual art. I didn't know that there was musical impressionists as well.
Yeah, but IB was definitely something that it was. I think it was unique because it was the first year for the school district to implement that, and so we were all going through it together, students, teachers, to try to figure out, hey, how do we do the best thing for. How they were trying to take care of us, make sure we passed.
Yeah.
We were trying to just do what was asked of us. And sometimes it worked out, sometimes it didn't, you know, in the overall score, like I was saying earlier. But I think most of us graduated who were in the program. I think, I can't remember. Maybe
with the diploma.
Yeah, with the diploma. I think there might have been a few people who ended up not getting
it. Yeah, there were a couple who didn't, I think.
But it definitely was helpful, for sure. I'd be interested to know how the IB program's working out now.
Yeah.
For current students.
Yeah, I would too. In fact, I had a student. I think I told Laura this on the show. I had an LDBL student reach out to me through Facebook and was like, "Hey, I found your poem from the TOK book of poems. I just wanted to say I really liked it." And this I was like, "Oh my god, what?" So right. I kind of want to reach out to the I need to respond to him. Wow. This was a couple years ago, but. Like, hey, you should listen to the podcast. You will get all the history of how leading up to that.
I also feel kind of behind. All my friends here have written books and have books coming out.
No, like one of you, Lauren only.
Yeah, but...
I've written some, but artists not
and,
published.
And books and...
In fact...
Yeah, I can't wait. I'm so proud of Lauren. Her book's coming out here soon.
Amen. In less than a month.
I don't know much about it, but if the title says this is not a, or it's not a cult, it probably is, right?
Spoiler alert, yeah. It is a cult. Okay. All right, let's see. I have a poem here written by Toby Dickinson, I bet.
Oh, no.
I read Laura's. Do you want me to read yours or not? This is good.
Sure. I have no recollection of this.
All right, let's see. If it's too personal, I can cut it. But, I mean, we had to read them in front of the class. So
is this for IB?
This was the IB Where I'm From poem.
Okay.
Remember we wrote in Theory of Knowledge with Mrs. Couch.
Yes.
So shout out to me. That was an awesome class. I don't remember.
We must have been in the same class. Yeah, I think we were.
Yeah.
Maybe not.
There were only two. I think there were only two sections of like the IB
remember,
kids.
I just remember being
two.
In the upstairs hallway by the band hall. It was like this really weird random hallway where her class was.
Where the art room was.
Yeah.
It was her and Miss Ivy were the two art teachers.
Like, you go out the band hall, you take a left, and then you go up the stairs, and it's, like, in that hall right there. Anyway.
She had a cool little room. In fact, I still have my cup of Zen.
Oh, nice.
It's got the name.
Yeah.
She gave us little cups of Zen. We could make tea 2003 to 2004 from Miss Couch.
Oh, my gosh.
With some dice in there and a bunch of random stuff.
Wow.
All right. Where I'm from. I am from North Richland Hills, which is where we are right now. From Darren and Barbara. I
haven't moved very far.
I am from the care of my loving parents, smiling, happy they are. I am from many different houses of living whose place and layout I remember as if it were yesterday. I am from Hamburger Helper and Potatoes, from Hearst to Euless. I am from the elementary school, the junior high, and the high school in Hearst, Texas. I am from my grandmother's care, chocolate milk and strong Starbucks. From my hand I cut on the garage door, I remember that, to the puppy I lost in ninth grade. In my closet is a bucket of old Legos spilling over the lip of the box, a rainbow of all the colors to dream of tall castles and great kings. That's a good line. That's a good line, Toby. He's covering his face. I am a compilation of these moments, flying by as quick as the wind, but still living with the ones I love. By Toby Dickinson.
Wow.
Give some snaps.
I have absolutely no recollection of writing that. But what's amazing to me is how little has changed, I feel like, since I wrote that. Like, still collect Legos.
Yeah.
Still love Hamburger Helper.
Yep.
I don't know. That's pretty funny. That's cool. Thanks for reading that.
You're welcome. Fish this out.
I need to go through that. That's awesome.
Speaking of Barbara and Darren, two favorites of mine. Oh, one of the high school memories is after the Pennington practices, which were at least Fridays. Was it only Friday morning that we did Pennington? Or were there other days of the week?
I think there were other days during the week. I think we, particularly as we're leading up to
maybe half and half
competitions.
Yeah, we did more.
There might have been like a Wednesday thrown in there as well.
Do you remember what time we got there? Was it 6 a.m. we got to Pennington? We
got there at, it's either 5:30 or 6.
Yeah, it was early.
And we would wrap up and then we'd go to...
we would go to your house, Laura and I at least.
Yeah.
Maybe just the three of us.
Yeah, yeah. And then change.
We would change. And then your mother always had a stash of Eggo waffles, and I would like just cover them in butter and eat them, and I was very thankful to have that breakfast. And so anyway, your mom and dad were very welcoming.
Yeah,
a lot of sleepovers, a lot of me eating y'all's food.
Games. Yeah,
Super Smash Brothers, planning out Star lightsaber battles, choreographing lightsaber
battles. We still have not made that far. We've made it about like 15 seconds.
Someday we will. Yeah. Someday.
You still can't beat me at Super Smash Bros. 64.
That's true. That's true.
But you have started to beat me in racquetball lately, so
yeah.
That's definitely a change.
I should have started with this, but this is a unusual episode in that we have been in contact. So I had Lauren and Laura on the episode, and for any of those who want to be on the show, just reach out to me because I don't have any sort of plan of when to schedule people or any order I'm doing it in. I feel bad that, I need to get Carbell too. But I was like, if I have Lauren and Laura on one summer, I have to have Toby too. But, all four of us, or at least I have been in contact with all three of y'all regularly. So this isn't really catching up for me, just for the people out there who want to know what you've been up to since high school. So let's do that. So you went to TCU, political science and history minor, right?
Funny story, because going back to the IB thing, like, I really didn't have, again, as a teenager, you don't always think like, what's my future going to be?
Should
I really go to college? Like, you just don't have this really grasp on like life.
Looking back, it's really alarming how much
decisions
you have to make as like an 18-year-old and how unequipped you are to do so.
I can kind of really appreciate more how parents are like, no, you need to do this.
Yeah.
You need to make a decision. You need to be anyway. I really didn't have a plan for going to college. I mean, I was going to college, but it was like, well, I guess I'm going to go to UNT because I can get in there because I graduated top 10 in my class. So it wasn't going to be like a question of whether I could get in or not. But I actually applied for TCU and I submitted my application and it was after the scholarship deadline. So I think the scholarship deadline was like January 1st and I submitted it like maybe mid-January. And I ended up still getting a scholarship for some odd reason to go to TCU. And so I was like, well, I guess I'll go there then.
What kind of, was that an academic scholarship?
Yeah, I'm trying to remember exactly. But yeah, I think it was academic and it paid for basically like a year and a half. And the nice thing about, one thing, we're so old that college was a lot cheaper 20-ish years ago.
Inflation in education is the worst. It even outpaces healthcare,
I think whenever I went to TCU, incredible. It was like $18K a year. And I lived at home, so I didn't pay for anything else. I was just for classes and stuff, $18K. I mean, TCU right now, just 1 year is insane. Like, it's probably triple that.
Yeah.
It's just crazy how expensive college is now. But, no, so because of IB and AP classes, I ended up getting, you know, I went in with a year. So I basically was able to, I finished, I graduated from college.
$51,660 yeah, now, insane. Average tuition. That's 21 to 22 school year.
Wow.
That's insane.
Almost three times the amount of money.
Yeah, that's crazy. Eye-watering.
So no, I was able to graduate TCU in 3 years, having only owing, you know, having to only owe a year and a half worth of tuition.
Nice, yeah.
So got that paid off pretty quickly. But yeah, political science degree, minor in history. Am I using my political science degree? Absolutely not.
So you're a pundit now on what channel? What do you do with poli sci other than, I guess, go into politics?
You can go into politics. Yeah. You can go into law school. You could, I mean, there's a lot of different avenues. Journalism, even, to a certain extent. But
I didn't realize a lot of lawyers do an English degree for undergrad, because it's just so much reading and builds up your reading skills. Oh, but I didn't realize that until I was in college, that a lot of those English kids were going to be law students.
But yeah, so no, you know, really just got in and out of college. Didn't really spend a lot of time, like, college life or anything like that, like, went to school.
Yeah, because we had quite a few. So Claire Becking went to TCU. Matt Schoolfield went to TCU. I'm trying to think who else. Where did Amanda Hamlet go? She didn't go to, I don't think she was from Horned Frog.
To Dallas, I thought.
Yeah. I think that's right. My wife went to TCU, but we didn't know her in high school.
Yeah. Small world.
I kind of regretted not at least applying there, because I had so many close friends at TCU, although that's, you know.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't have gotten the same scholarships, probably. I applied to one school. That was UNT.
Yeah.
It's like, to speak to the level of responsibility we had that we didn't deserve. You know, I had heard Sarah's mom say once that UNT had a good English program, and that was the research I did.
Yeah.
So I applied for UNT and went there. So stupid. But anyway.
I'm just also not a big, not that I would have necessarily known this in the moment, but looking back, like, I'm just not a fan of college towns. Like, that is just not a thing for me.
Yeah.
The college, like, living on campus can be one thing, but, like, the college town itself, like, one time I visited Stillwater, Oklahoma, could never do it. Like, that's just what UNT reminds me of. No offense to, I mean, it's definitely more lively than Stillwater.
I like Denton, though. Denton is so, it's so liberal. It's so, like, artsy. It's so laid back.
Yeah. I'm liberal, too, but it's just not my college, like,
that. Which is so funny, because, like, you would think, having been in such an intense marching band program, that the college life would have some allure for us. But I'm kind of the same way in terms of, I've never been a huge football fan. I kind of like it now, just the last couple of years. I've been actually watching some, not just Super Bowl games, right?
Yeah, I didn't go to one TCU football game at all. Like, not at all. Like, am I going to go this weekend? No, I'm going to, like, either sleep or I have to go to work or something like that, you know.
But you were always pretty politically centered. I remember you used to be really conservative. Now you're not. But I remember, like, you used to watch. I remember you watching. What's his face? Bill O'Reilly. What is he doing? He's, like, so obscure now. He's off the. He's like, he still has a show, right?
I think that goes back to the whole. That goes back to the whole thing where it's just like, as a teenager, you don't realize.
Yeah, you don't.
You don't have any perception. The way that you perceive the world is also kind of the way that of the people that you're surrounded by.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just kind of how you absorb that. And as you get older and you step into your own life, you know, to a certain extent, like, oh, I don't believe that now. Like, I can see a different point of view. Like, you have, and also, like, there's a whole, you know, we didn't have social media when we were a kid. You know, there wasn't, you know, we had our Zangas and we had our My Pages and, or MySpace. And
Zanga was my favorite.
You know, all that kind of stuff, and Facebook was like just kind of starting. Twitter wasn't even around, or
I should say
X now wasn't around.
X, I don't know that.
Twitter people just got rebranded as X.
Did it? Twitter did?
Yeah,
I haven't even heard that.
It's God. That's for our next podcast.
Yeah. Meta and
oh, X. So yeah, so I am complete opposite of how I would have viewed myself politically as a teenager in college and stuff like that.
Did you have any, like, favorite professors, any really interesting classes you took?
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. I don't even know what kind of classes you would take.
Dr. Carrie Currier was a political science professor at TCU, and she, I took three of her classes. I took a lot of British history classes and Chinese history classes.
Okay.
I really enjoyed her classes. She was tough, but also just very, like, kind of like Mrs. Banner, like, very tough, but also very fair.
Yeah.
But, like, if you put the work in, like, she wants to, like, have a great relationship with her students. And so I remember one time, it was, like, near the end of my time at TCU. I just remember, like, she was like, you don't need to take the test. Like, you don't need to take the final. And I think I, like, I end up taking it anyway or something.
Yeah.
I was like, you
yeah.
really don't need to take the final. Like, you're good. Like, I know you know your stuff. Anyway, but...
Nice.
No, I really enjoy that. Like, I also, like, as an adult, I wish I could just go to college and just, like, sit down in classes. Like, just the idea of just, like, learning stuff.
Audit them.
And maybe not have to
Well, you can't... There's a lot of cool things. I started to take, I think, through Yale... They have a lot of free, like, video courses you can just watch the lectures of. It's really interesting. So I took a, what was it? It was a literature one of some kind. Kind of, I think philosophy and literature is really interesting.
I know there's so many resources out there, but it's also weird because it's like, the idea of doing online school is still foreign to me because I never did that. And
Well, I had a couple online courses at UNT and they were terrible.
Yeah.
And even still today, I people who tell me about their online courses they take through college, even good college, even like not just, you know, the online schools who just are factories, you know, diploma factories, but it's just not a good way to learn. Like,
yeah,
in fact, when you were mentioning that professor, one of the best pieces of advice I could give to a college student would be to, you know, and I heard this when I was at UNT as well and tried to do it, but didn't do it very well, was like find two or three professors and really make a connection with them.
Mm-hmm.
Like stay after class,
sure.
Make sure they know who you are,
because
you need them for recommendations or for even for job, you know, even networking. Not all of your professors, but at least find a couple. And the second piece of advice I would give is like, it's crazy how much free money is out there for just a couple hours of scholarship application time. Like I got a couple $100 for school books because I was going to be a teacher and there was a scholarship for that. So just like keep searching for those and getting the free money.
But yeah. I mean, just asking questions, going to office hours, just even, I mean, I remember one time, I don't even think we chatted about school stuff. It was just about like college life and what do you want to do with your, you know, what do you want to do in the future? Like, here's my advice from my point, you know, just anytime you get a chance to talk to a professor, like they're just, at the end of the day, they're also just people. And so they have like their own unique perspective. Right. And they're definitely valuable. So plus someone's paying that money, either you or a loan or your parents or whatever that is, like make the money worth it for sure. But yeah, no, like I still would love just to go visit in person classes, because I know like kids these days do math on a computer. I'm like, that's just a foreign concept.
Yeah,
like,
that's true.
I can't do it. Like, I need a pen, I need a pencil, and I need some paper.
Show your work.
like, you know, I don't even care about that, but I'm like, I'm doing math by hand. I'm not like trying to type it on a computer.
Right.
I need the, I don't know, like I always took notes. I never, which is weird to think about. I graduated college and the iPhone hadn't even come out yet, which is really weird. Like,
that's true.
I didn't have a computer.
It was right at the cusp.
I graduated in the summer of 2007. So the iPhone came out late June of 2007. And it was just crazy to think, like, I didn't have a computer.
I remember you trying to convince me that it was going to be big. I was like, Toby, nobody's going to want a phone, a computer in their pocket. You're like, you can listen to music, but if you get a phone call, it'll interrupt them. I was like, I don't want my music interrupted by...
Yeah.
I'm so dumb. That's why I'm not a tech giant. But anyway.
But I'm always used to doing notes by hand and all that stuff. Like, I didn't have a computer. I didn't have a notebook in college. Like, I did everything pen and paper. Pencil and paper. So, again, old
tech school.
Alert. Yeah,
old school.
Yeah,
we need reactionaries out there who are gonna be, you know, keeping us honest. And because you mentioned social media, but it's deranged us a lot of people. It's been good and bad, right? So,
you know, what's funny is that we've looped back around to, we had flip phones at the time.
Uh-huh.
Now flip phones are starting to become a thing.
Yeah,
again,
yeah.
Just with modern technology, so everything comes back around.
It all comes around. Now, you work for a company whose name we won't mention, but most people probably know. Was that right out of college? Or did you have jobs before that?
No. So when I graduated, so literally the day that I graduated, well, I didn't graduate, I guess, technically for a few months later because my last class was a summer class. But the very last...
That's lame, because then you don't have a good graduation, right?
I didn't go to my graduation.
Yeah.
I didn't go to graduation. It was in August and I had moved. But literally my last day of school, I took a test and was done, got in my car and drove to upstate New York.
Nice.
With my ex at the time. Well, not at the time.
Yeah.
Right? Now, that would have been really awkward. And it was like the first time I'd gotten out of the house because I lived, like I said, I lived at home.
I forgot you moved to New York. Yeah. I completely forgot about that.
Yeah, it was about 8 months. Yeah. It wasn't too long. But it was the first time I'd gotten away from Texas. And
that's when you became a liberal. That's right. Yeah, New York. Yeah.
No, but upstate New York is gorgeous in the summer. Don't stay there for the winter. It's absolutely terrible. Yeah. No, I came back. Funny, worked with your sister.
Yeah, I was about to say that's...
Yeah, I've worked with your sister before.
Oh, did you work at Office Depot?
Yeah.
Oh my God, of course you worked at Office Depot with me at the same time. Which, I have memories of that, and it's just now occurring to me. We worked together at Office Depot. That is the worst. I'm the worst friend, because I had completely blanked that out of my head. Anyway.
So, yeah.
But we didn't work at the... We didn't work at the same store for long. No, Kelly didn't. Kelly didn't.
I worked with Kelly. You and I did. You worked in college. You were Coffee Center. Up in Denton.
Yeah.
I worked with your sister.
That's so funny. I can believe
there was. I think there was a small period of time, maybe, where we worked in the same store, or at least you helped a couple times something like that, because you were like supply stuff.
We worked together for quite a while, though. I think
it seems like everyone in on your side of the family's friend group, has worked
for that company for a while.
But yeah, so when I got back from New York, because I couldn't do the winter, and I came back to Texas. It's too cold. Cars are... You have to like start your car, staying at 20 degrees outside. Just not fun. I went back to work for them, and for a while.
That's funny, yeah.
And then...
Because so our... And that's where you met, which is funny, because we talked about... We worked with Dirk Ellard. Mm-hmm. And he dated for a while,
Liz
Dean, right?
Yes.
Is her last name. Who went to LD? Who was in the marching band with us?
Seen many times at concerts.
And I forgot Dirk was a drummer and was in drum corps as well.
Yeah.
I forget which. Do you know which corps he was in?
I don't. I think I want to say like Blue Devils or.
Okay, maybe. I thought it was the green one. The one that had. I thought I'm picturing him in a Facebook picture in the green uniform. But anyway, Maverick. I don't remember what they're called. But, that's funny. So, because I worked in Denton for a while and then moved back home for the last couple years of college to live with my dad because rent. And so then I worked with Rory. You were with Rory the whole time, right? Mm-hmm. But then they moved me to the store 81.
Yes.
Because they knew I was going to teach. I shouldn't have told them, I was planning on quitting. But they knew, because we were friends. Rory's a good friend of mine. I still consider him a friend. It's been a while since I talked to him. But so they were like, hey, since you're not going to be with us at the end of the summer anyway, we need a manager, Copy Center manager at 81, which is the one that's now Painted Tree over by the mall.
Yeah.
So I did that for like a couple months. But and I think Jason was at that store.
He was.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So. And I worked there a couple times to cover some stuff. Also, mm-hmm.
Yeah, we ended up working everywhere.
525
I worked at Watauga, I worked at East Chase, helping with supplies.
Yeah.
That was good. I liked working for that company. I enjoyed it. I thought it was good. I mean, in terms of soulless retail companies, it wasn't bad. It was a family, right? It was like, anyway. I say soulless, I just mean, all retail has that reputation, but Office Depot is a good company. It feels weird that they're like, partner with Office Max now because they were our competitors. So now every time I go in there, it's Office Depot, Office Max. I'm like, ugh, this feels gross.
It doesn't really roll off the tongue.
No, it doesn't.
Name could have come up with a different name or just kept one or the other.
Nice. So, any other fun story you were, so it's funny that, you know, this is not a catch-up podcast. We were literally just together for 90 minutes at the jump park where my nephews and daughters were. Toby was there. So they were brainstorming stuff to talk about. So what'd y'all come up with other than New York? Did you ever go to New York City? You had to have, right?
Oh, yeah. I've been to New York City a couple times. Love New York City.
Broadway?
Actually, I've not seen a show on Broadway.
That's got to be on my bucket list.
I bought tickets to go see Book of Mormon.
Mm-hmm.
And that trip ended up getting canceled because I got sick back in 2016. And so I didn't go to New York.
2016?
Yeah.
That was Trump election year.
Oh, that's when I got C. diff.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That, so I read, was it Turtles All the Way Down? Speaking of OCD, she has it in the, like, John Green does a really good job portraying what the thought process is like. But she would get freaked out about that, right? Like when she went to the hospital, it's like you can get C. diff, like you can get, like antibiotics can be bad for you because you can get C. diff, which I still think about every time I get antibiotics. I'm like, you're just wiping out all the bacteria in my body. A lot of that is healthy bacteria. Like this can't be good to just blanket, you know, kill everything in your body.
No, C. diff can be very deadly, particularly for older people. And, a lot of people have, I mean, you have the bacteria in your body. It's just the way that certain antibiotics can get rid of the bacteria that protect you, and it causes, you know, C. diff to kind of take over.
Like a runaway.
And so, no, I was planning to go to New York again that summer, end up getting sick, and so decided to stay and just make sure I got better. But, I've been to New York a couple times, been to Salt Lake City, which is also beautiful.
Speaking of Mormons.
Yes. Learned a lot about Salt Lake City. Streets are very interesting there. The streets are, like, obviously the I don't know the full history of Salt Lake City, but it's very planned out. And it's planned out around the temple. And the streets are numbered based on how many blocks away they are from, like, Temple Square. Nice. So, like, if it's, like, 600... that means it's six blocks away from the temple. So anyway, it's really...
How
really
far away you are from God. How far you're wandering from...
But, we got to go to, like, Park City, Utah, which is awesome as well. Salt Lake City's beautiful. Been to Seattle.
I love the Pacific Northwest.
Yeah, Seattle's amazing.
I mean, they're crazy people up there, but they're... Yeah. Left in Portland, especially, like when you go south to Oregon. I still love that city, though. It's so crunchy. I love it.
I have not been to Portland yet.
You should go. It's another world.
Been to LA, been in San Francisco, been to Florida. So I've gotten to travel some bit. I've, for the past couple of years, for fun, have been learning Swedish. So
we're watching Taskmaster. Have you watched Taskmaster, the British game show? Uh-oh. Every season they have something with a Swede. They have a Swedish person. One of them was he could only talk to you in Swedish. He spoke English, but he could only speak in Swedish, and you had to figure out all the answers to all these questions, like what his mother's name is, like what his favorite food is. Interesting. It's pretty funny. Anyway,
so I've been you know, kind of for fun. But also just like as a challenge myself, I've been learning Swedish, so I'd love to go to Sweden.
Mm-hmm.
Might be planning something with your sister Kelly and her husband.
Nice.
They're wanting to go to Finland. So I was like, well, if you're going to Finland and it's right next door to Sweden.
Yeah, that's one of those funny things.
Combination trip thing we could do there. Yeah. So.
Nine skinny finger, Finland, Norway, Sweden. Nine skinny fingers, right? It's Norway,
Sweden,
Finland. Mm-hmm. That's one of the main reasons we've also still kept in touch is because you have become good friends with my sister through Office Depot, right? Yeah. I guess that's how y'all became friends. And then, you know, so it's like, yeah, Toby's coming. My sister would be like, yeah, Toby's coming. I was like, wait, he's my friend. Yeah. He's your friend.
So wait, so you remember that by friend. Nine skinny fingers? You give us something like NSF, like not safe
for. Yeah, not safe for.
Yeah. That'd be an not easier safe. Way to.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was back in the day. I remember learning in Ms. Campbell's class, D. Campbell, in ninth grade. But
oh my gosh, so many teachers I wish we could have. we could catch up with.
Yeah.
On this podcast.
Well, the episode I was telling you with Miss. Oh, see, I never had Miss Gilbert. Well, I'd even talked to you about co-hosting, but like it quickly became apparent that trying to get three people's schedules to align was just going to be a nightmare. Because it's hard enough to try to find people like, well, I can do it these 3 hours or at these 3 hours. But yeah, you should do some episodes. You can host your own if you want, and I'll just pop them up.
All right, more to come.
Do that more, we'll, with Miss Gilbert.
We'll follow, cool. Yeah, so that's been let's see, the past few years. I mean, everything got thrown off with COVID, obviously. I feel like we're all finally back into out of kind of pre-COVID times, at least to some extent.
Yeah.
But excited to go back to concerts. You know, you and I have been to a couple concerts. And did we go to Muse together?
We did. Yeah, you invited me, and that was, I still regret. One of
the best concerts.
You invited me to Edgefest as well, and Beck was headlining, but we had to leave early for Aaron's birthday party.
Yes.
I was like, I can go, but I've already told Aaron. And when I got to Aaron's birthday party, he was like, I would have skipped my own birthday party to see Beck. I was like, dang it, I should have I should have canceled and just stayed for Beck. Because we saw Churches at Edgefest, and there's some, the neighborhood?
The neighborhood was not great. Did not like him. He seemed like
such a tool. I had a student after that who was a big Neighborhood fan. And I was like, dude, that guy's, I don't know, he's not, anyway.
Yeah. No,
just his presence on stage was kind of smarmy.
I feel like we left that night, like, was it Imagine Dragons or something like that? That was playing, like, second up to Beck.
Oh, maybe.
And, like, we left in the middle of that because we're like, okay, we got to go. Maybe. But we saw Churches and we saw Group Love.
We saw somebody we knew down there, too. Like, somebody from high school, I think, as well. Mm-hmm. Who was that? I can't remember. But they were walking. I was like, fun. Is that them? And then you invited me to Muse. That was a good show.
Muse is probably put on the best concerts I've ever been to.
Yeah.
Been to many Walk the Moon concerts.
Oh, and then you came to see Jack White with me.
Yeah.
And Riley.
Yeah.
Speaking of Riley, he's come up 3 times on this podcast.
Didn't know a single
Jack White song,
but that's okay.
Jack White's interesting because he's not, you know, other than they had to have played Seven Nation Army, right, at the end.
Yeah.
I think he always ends with that. But Jack White is definitely more of a musician's musician.
But that was also the first concert I've ever been to where
they lock up your phone. They
lock up your phones. I was not used to
that. We're not happy about that. Neither you nor Riley were very happy about that.
But I will say that they didn't get my watch, so I still had access
to stuff to record. Does that have a camera?
No, like to record? No, yeah. But like if I got a message or something, I could still get it. But
I should have warned y'all. I didn't even think about it because I think it. At least the last two, I've seen Jack White 4 times now, and I think the last 3 shows they did that, and so I forgot to even register that. Oh, maybe Toby and Riley won't want their phone taken away for 3 hours.
I mean, it's fine. It's probably it's all good that we can all get away from our technology a little bit, but it's just like the idea of, man, what do we do before technology? Like, there were days I call your home line. Like, I still remember your home phone number.
Yeah, 817-595-0698.
That's right.
I vaguely remember yours. Yours was yours.
8-6-8-0-8-5-8.
Okay, I don't remember it. Yeah,
but
I'm just happy I know my wife's cell phone number. I always panic for a split second that I don't know it, and of course I do. But
oh man,
there's only 2 phone numbers I know: mine and my wife's. Yeah, craziness. All right, well, that's been about an hour. Oh, we still need to do your quiz. All right, here we go. Okay. I forgot.
I'm excited for this little surprise. What are we doing?
Only 3% can pass this Star Wars quiz.
Okay.
Can you?
Had a feeling.
Now, we grew up loving Star Wars, and also we had a Trivial Pursuit Star Wars game that I think we eventually memorized all the answers to that I owned.
We also played, and you always, I never once beat you at the game. It was the one.
Oh, from Queen's Gambit.
Queen's Gambit. Yes.
That was a good game. Well, because you always played...
Not to be confused with the Netflix show.
Yeah. You always played one side, and it was the side that was hardest to win as. So you kept wanting to see if you could do it. So it wasn't that I was better.
As the Republic, and you always played as the droids.
And the way it worked out, I think because if you knew the statistical fact that you're most likely... When you roll 2 dice, you're most likely to get 15 or 16. Is that right? Like 7 and 8 is the most common, because you get... No, 7 or 8, you're most likely to roll, right? Yeah, because you get a 1 and a 6, a 2 and a 4. Anyway, so I was able to use that to my advantage and just always one. All right, and A New Hope. I'll ask you the first 10 questions. Hopefully this isn't clickbaity and is going to be making me pay or something.
Okay.
In A New Hope, Leia is kept on the Death Star in what cell number? Multiple choice. A, Roman numeral 4. B, 1178. C, 4871. Or D, 2187. I thought it was 1138, the THX. But the son of these.
D,
2187. Correct. Correct. All right. What were the jobs of Luke's Aunt Beru and Uncle Owen on Tatooine?
Moisture farmers.
That's easy. Moisture farmers. Okay. B, yes. Only 3%. How many languages does C-3PO claim to be fluent in?
6 million forms of communication.
A, 12. That's not an answer choice.
Okay.
B, 600. C, 200. Sorry, 6,000. C, 200. Or D, more than 6 million.
Okay.
More than 6 million. Okay. Which character is partially named after George Lucas's son? A, Bryn Derlin. B, Derek Hobby Clivian. Yeah. C, Dexter Jetster. Or D, Ben Solo.
C, Dexter Jetster.
Correct. I'm trying to see if it has. Yeah, Dexter Jetster. Jetster is Beasilisk living on the planet Coruscant who used to smuggle guns but now owns Dex's okay.
Oh.
Is he the big guy, the big alien? Okay, yeah. Got it. Sorry, I forgot. All right, look at you. See, you are better than me at this. Who is the lead singer of Jabba the Hutt's house band? has a picture of her.
I can picture her.
A,
I can hear her.
Dota Dota Bodon Owalido. B, Droopy McCool.
It's Droopy size, McCool. It's not. It's Size Noodles.
Size Noodles, okay. Size Noodles. D, continue. Oh, this is stupid. What species is Jar Jar Binks without looking?
He's Gungan.
Gungan, correct. 6 of 6. Let's do 10. I say 5 or 10. Which U.S. national park was used as indoor for filming Return of the Jedi? I think I know this.
Redwood National Park. Redwood. Yeah, it's called Redwood.
I think it's Redwood. Yep, it is Redwood, not Sequoia. In The Empire Strikes Back, what does C-3PO say are the odds of surviving an asteroid field?
7,340 to 1.
No, not an answer. 1 in 7.36 million, 1 in 6 billion,
3,720 to 1.
3,720 to 1. Continue. And then Han Solo says,
"Don't tell me the odds."
Never tell me the odds. Two more questions. You've got it. You're at 100% so far. Theed is the capital of what planet? A, Coruscant, Tatooine, Felucia, Naboo.
Naboo.
Correct. And last but not least, what is the first spaceship seen in A New Hope?
It's a blockade runner.
Is it a Republic attack cruiser?
It's Tantive IV.
Tantive IV. All right, look at that. All right. True to form, 10 out of 10. Some of those were easy, but some of them were hard.
Yeah.
Some of them weren't that bad. All right. And last but not least, I always have a prepared statement for my guests. Toby, because of your steadfast friendship and stellar work ethic that pushed me to be better, I'm sincerely grateful and better for having known you. You're one of the hundreds of kind, generous, and benevolent people I know. In a world where we need every single one we can get. So keep being awesome and doing awesome things.
All right. Thank you, Mark.
Thanks for doing this.
I got you. And thanks for having me on the podcast.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it.
All right, guys. Bye.
Bye.
Hey, guys. Before the outro, just wanted to remind you that the How the Heck Have You Been podcast is brought to you by the Art by Marker deck of playing cards. So I hand drew the artwork for all 52 cards plus 2 jokers. It's pretty sweet. Head over to our website, artbymarker.com. to check them out and support this one-man show. Thank you. All right, that was the show. Thanks for listening, everyone. Today's episode was recorded by Mark Dye. Our editor is Mark Dye, and he is also the executive producer. The intro and outro music was composed by Mark Dye in high school. It's really just me doing this. To support the How the Heck Have You Been podcast, visit artbymarker.com and buy some cool art. Thanks, y'all.